Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. The deal was made in Denmark on a dark and stormy day, so he set out for Biafra to join the bloody fray. Through 66 and 7 they fought the Congo War with their fingers on their triggers, knee-deep in gore. The days and nights they battled the Bantu to their knees. They killed to earn their living and to help out the Congolese.
Roland the Thompson gunner, Roland the Thompson gunner.
His comrades fought beside him, Van Owen and the rest. But of all the Thompson gunners, Roland was the best. So the CIA decided they wanted Roland dead. That son of a bitch, Van Owen, blew off Roland's head. They can still see his headless body stalking through the night in the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. In the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. Roland searched the continent for the man who done him in. He found him in Mombasa in a ballroom drinking gin. Roland aimed his Thompson gun. He didn't say a word, but he blew Van Owen's body from there to Johannesburg.
Roland the headless Thompson gunner, Thompson gunner,
talking about the man.
Roland the headless Thompson gunner.
The eternal Thompson gunner, still wandering through the night. Now it's 10 years later, but it still keeps up the fight. In Ireland, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Berkeley, Paddy Hearst heard the verse.
Oh, wow. Oh, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. This is the Self-Help Half Hour. And that right there, that was the first track of the day. That was Knight Rider by our favorite Tim Weisberg.
Our favorite artist.
What does Tim Weisberg mean to you, Brett?
Tim Weisberg is just, once you get past his virtuoso flute history, he just represents an honest musician that, you know, doesn't change for what, you know, with fame, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He stays true to himself and mm-hmm. his artistry.
I think that's what we all love about Tim Weisberg. I feel that that's what we all get from his playing. And that's why we've dedicated this week to be Tim Weisberg's Knight Rider Week. That's right. This week, we'll still be doing the Self-Help Half Hour. We'll still be helping you out, the Guru, CTP, and Faust, only on WMFO, 91.5 WMFO, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. But we will also be giving you a whole session of Tim Weisberg's perfect, his seminal Knight Rider studio album from 1979.
I think, you know, as gurus, we help a lot of people at home. And this is, you know, I would say Tim Weisberg is kind of our personal guru. This album has really helped us whenever we face tough times, when our ratings dip. I mean, we get together, we listen to some Knight Rider, and we get back on our feet. So, very important album for us folks.
I mean, just the opener, Westchester Fair, it gives you a sense of urgency. It gives you a sense of belonging. Yeah, it's called Westchester Fair. Right, I think we have a PSA to start the show off. What's our PSA?
We do.
This week?
This is, you know, as we all know, Tim Weisberg was a vegetarian, so this is a very important one to him, I think. This is the Order Your Free Vegetarian Starter Kit at PETA.org PSA. CTP, did you know that you could save 100 animals per year just by adopting a meat-free diet? That's right. Going vegetarian saves animal lives as well as your own. And if that's not appealing enough, it's tasty, easy, and can be incredibly inexpensive too. And to start you off saving real money at the grocery store while eating healthier, PETA will send you a free vegetarian starter kit. So, what do you say? Just Google free vegetarian starter kit and go to the PETA website link and fill out the form there to receive a free copy of PETA's vegetarian and vegan starter kit, or view the online version that's posted there. It will guide you through the transition to a healthier, happier, and longer-lasting life. It has everything from recipes and tips on eating out to health information and videos. That's PETA.org. This has been a public service announcement from people from PETA and your tomato, mushroom, and onion loving friends here at WMFO.
Whoa.
So, very cool.
Let me ask you a question, Brett.
How
do you feel about vegetarianism? Do you think that's something we can tell our fans to do, to start doing as a way to help themselves?
I think that's outside of our realm of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all about emotional healing.
It's whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, do it. Make
at
your
the
own
same
choices.
Time, I will fight the claim that vegetarianism is easier than eating
it,
than not being a vegetarian. Do they say easier or do they just say easy?
I think I've heard people say it's easier. Yeah.
Oof.
It's not
it's
really not. I mean, have you ever had buffalo wings? How do you resist that?
How do you make a vegetarian version of buffalo wings?
Right.
Or like a chicken sandwich.
Yeah. And I've had vegan buffalo, and it's not very good. It doesn't taste like buffalo at all.
Yeah, it's like that. It's the stuff that grow in the ground, the fungus. Right, we got one more track coming up.
Oh, yeah.
It's, guess which album this one's from?
Knight Rider?
It might just be from Knight Rider. This is the second track on the album. We're going through the album order this week. This is the second track. We'll see you after the break. Wow, wow, wow. That was some more Tim Weisberg for you. That was Midsummer's Dream, the second track of his seminal 1979 work, Knight Rider. Hey, Brett, did you know this? Tim Weisberg actually picked up the flute, not because he wanted to. He wanted to play the drums, but instead he picked up the flute because it was the only instrument left and all the girls played flute.
Whoa.
Really? We could have lost the greatest flautist of our generation if he had decided to pick up the drum kit instead.
But you know what? Knowing Tim, I think if he had picked up the drums, he would be the greatest drummist of our generation. So I don't think it would have been too much a loss. I really just think as long as, you know, Tim Weisberg is alive and kicking on this earth, that is a earth I want to live in, CTP. So.
And amen to that. I've got six other interesting Tim Weisberg facts, just to bring everybody up to speed. Would you like to hear some?
I would love to hear these facts.
This is the day of Tim Weisberg trivia. Just to start off our show, we don't often do this, but
no.
Since we're celebrating the life of Tim Weisberg and his seminal hit, 1979 Knight Rider,
yeah,
we should at least go through the entire thing.
And, you know, he's a name everyone recognizes. He's like a household name at this point, but, you know, I think these facts would really enlighten people about, you know, who's really, you know, behind the name, as they say. So,
Tim Weisberg's first album, released in 1973, was also called Tim Weisberg.
Wow.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That you often don't see that these days.
No.
It's often like, well, Adele's is...
Numbers.
Yeah, it's all numbers now. Yeah. Everyone's trying to be so minimalist.
She likes maths.
Bon Iver's was 22. Yeah. Justin Bieber's was... That was a word. But
don't
you
remember.
Don't often see just someone use their name. How shocking. How...
Or they just have a track, like the best track off the album. That'll be the name.
Mm.
Which is lazy. Because, you know, there's already a track.
Clearly, yeah. Artistry has died somewhere in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And Tim Weisberg is the tide. He's the storm bringing it back. Mm. Fact number two, Tim Weisberg was named after Wise Tim Berg, a local shaman and drunk, with whom the young Tim's father shared a passing fascination and gambling debts. Very, yeah. Very fun fact, that one. Wise Tim Berg.
Oh!
It's amazing that...
Wise!
Because he was a wise man.
He was a wise man.
It's amazing how... because he already had the Berg part, the Weisberg part. So his father was just like, we got two syllables.
Wait,
might as well go for the
his
Timothy.
His father just changed his last name. So he named his son Tim and then gave him a different last name.
Number two. Move over, Bebop. Move over smooth, move over modal, fusion. Tim's signature genre has been termed by Tim himself as soap, due to its creamy textures, clean licks, and Tim's decision to record all solos in a bathtub. You know, for the acoustic preferences. It's, you know when you're singing in the shower, you get that really
yeah.
kind of crisp bounce back?
That's, right.
That's what he does.
Right.
Now that's one,
oh,
that's one soap bath the neighborhood cats won't mind taking.
Whoa.
On an unrelated note, I think the word cats to describe your friends is really cool.
Is,
and we should start bringing it back.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Everyone say it's 90s revivalism,
soap
right?
Cats.
50s revivalism is the next thing.
Wow.
No one wants to go back to the 40s.
What are some other notable soap players?
Oh, Clean Gillespie.
Clean Gillespie, yeah.
Bubbles yeah. McKenzie.
Uh-huh.
You know there's a lot.
Yeah.
It's... It was really...
Bathing Wolf.
Tim really was the head of the genre, though. He really pushed
right.
soap forward.
Mm.
Tim's mentor, legendary soul flautist Won Lung Jones, discovered Tim's incredible lung capacity after finding the youngster at a bobbing for apples contest at the local county
wow.
fair.
Mm-hmm.
Jones was reminded of his own once stellar propensity for breath when he saw Tim climb inside the bucket and hide underwater for a full half hour after being spooked when a nearby horse died. Really, really
amazing.
Incredible. Even as a child at the local county fair, he had the lung capacity to
wow.
breathe underwater for half an hour.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, the boys got gills.
The boys.
Guild.
The exact words that Wong Lung Joe.
You get that reference?
No.
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. The boys got gills.
Let the boy breathe.
Let the boy
underwater.
Have his apples.
Bobbing. Wong Lung Jones, obviously. Yeah.
He was definitely a better flute player than he is an apple bobber.
Incredibly. You know, important in the formation of young Tim's sound.
Wow.
And breathing patterns.
Pretty amazing, yeah.
Our second to last trivia point. Across his entire career, Tim has released 18 full studio albums, 2 live albums, and 4 caged birds.
Wow.
Yeah, quite. He's got a streak. We were talking about Peter before. He's got a real streak for, you know, philanthropy, ecology. Yeah. Birds.
Mm. Just if you live in the same area as him, I wouldn't keep your pets outside. He's opening fences. He's opening cages.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he can't be tamed. He's a night rider.
Yeah,
nothing can stop
you
him.
If he shows up, he's not a dog walker. So if he shows up at your door, be aware.
Mm.
Don't let him in.
And finally, our last trivia fact about the incomparable Tim Weisberg. Unlike his lifelong rival, Gary, Tim Weisberg was a well-known teetotal and refused to get hopped up on the same nightmare couscous as counterparts for nibbling.
Ooh.
Tim's 1980 double album classic, I Am Fine, Nothing Is Melting, was a direct and veiled response to Gary's seminal, I'm Not Okay, Everything Is Melting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they really had...
What a rivalry.
It was really mid... I say, like, the late 70s. The soap scene was really exploding with the old...
Mm.
The old, you know, nightmare wax. But it was really the rivalry between Gary and Tim Weisberg that everybody remembers about that scene.
That's, yeah, that the issue... The issue of was it melting? Really exploded onto the scene. It was second only to the Vietnam War in terms of controversy, really.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Those were the Tim Weisberg facts.
Those are amazing facts.
Just people who hadn't heard about Tim Weisberg before, now you're up to date.
Yep.
And I think we're ready for our next track on that.
Thanks for that trivia, CTP. That was very enlightening. You know, some of those I had never heard before, too, so that was very educational for me.
And we are the world's biggest fans of Tim Weisberg. We have this album.
Yep.
Okay.
We have Spotify.
Here's our next track. We're moving slowly on through the Knight Rider album. Please stay with us. And let's listen to more smooth jazz. Oh, Touchstone.
What amazes me about this record every single time is the pacing. It just, man, it picks up. When it picks up, and then he'll like dip into a valley of smooth jazz and soap. So really amazing.
It's really the soap that gets you.
Oh,
Boy, let me tell you, these opening three tracks, until I'd had Knight Rider in its entirety, I didn't think jazz could be like this. Yeah, I'd had like Miles Davis's Blue Period.
Right.
I heard the old Bebop Legends.
Yeah.
I'd heard Louis Armstrong.
This Crude. Changed everything.
This really, let me tell you, if you were alive in 1970s in the Bay Area.
Oh. I mean, you were listening to Weisberg.
You were listening to Weisberg. You were listening to Weisberg.
What I would give to be part of that, the soap movement.
What I would do?
Ooh.
I don't even know. But I think we have some ways.
Time machine.
You can get there.
Yeah.
A few little life hacks.
Ooh.
As a means of getting into...
life hacks.
Getting into the system for the first time. What do we have on our list today?
We have some life hacks today, specifically, and this is something I'm very excited about. We have six wonderful flute hacks here for you guys. For, hacks involving flutes or for flute players. So let's just get right into them. Number one, need to blow up either 6, 8, or 11 balloons in a hurry. Can you think of an instrument that has either 6, 8, or 11 holes?
The clarinet.
The flute, baby.
What?
Yes, the flute, depending on the flute. Okay, number two. Here's a hack for all you flute players out there. Try sucking on the reed for 2 full minutes to warm it up before you set it aside, because you don't need a reed to play a flute. That was a hack from Emma. Shout out to Emma. Thanks for that one. Emma plays the flute, so I just wanted to throw that in there.
Oh, does she really?
She does play the flute.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Emma is our other intern who we fired last summer.
We fired her last summer, but we're still in touch, so.
Mm-hmm.
Number three. Here's a little known fact. When designing the metric system, scientist and amateur flautist Sir Thomas Metric based a kilogram off the weight of his own alto flute. That's why another name for a kilogram is a flout scrub. Keep this in mind when you need a quick measurement and all you have is a flute. Colin, that was a measurement hack.
That was really good. What were the alto flutes made of back in the day? Were they made of the exact same materials they're made of today?
Bamboo.
Bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we just need to find a bamboo flute. And we can measure anything.
Yep, exactly.
Wow, I'm really amazed by these flute hacks. Do we have any more?
We do. We have, here's number four. Next time you need to break lots of glass at once, simply play a high D sharp on a flute. Being one of the most resonant sounds known to man, this technique also works to deter mosquitoes.
No way.
Yeah, uh-huh. No. Very useful hack for those, especially those living in the tropics.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I am also incredibly mosquito prone.
Yeah.
Like, you know me, mosquitoes will find me. I don't have to go to the tropics.
It's because you're a sweetheart.
Yeah. I've also got like pasty, delicious looking skin.
Oh.
Because of the cold in the winter right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to take around a flute with me so often.
Yep. That's all I need to do.
Flutes to mosquitoes are crosses are as to vampires.
Well, you have to play the high D sharp or else.
Oh, it's the high D sharp.
It's the high D sharp on a flute.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the most resonant note on the most resonant instrument.
I'm learning so much.
Yeah, uh-huh. Science. You know, flutes are all about science, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this next hack, Colin, really worked for me, actually for both of us. Do you have a loud, nosy neighbor? As you know, we live in a college town, so we sure did. Our neighbor would blast loud rock and roll music late into the night. Well, here's the hack. Simply counteract your neighbor's loud music by blasting Baroque flute fugues every night at full volume. Your punk rock neighbors won't last a week. Flute music obviously has the added benefit of attracting pixies. So in no time, the whole neighborhood will be gentrified, but in a magical sense. That worked for us. We had this loud, noisy neighbor, real punk head, rock listener. And man, we just started, blasting Bach equally as loud, and he moved out, the Pixies moved right in.
It's
very cool.
It's I mean, that's actually what the song Midsummer's Dream that we just listened to is about.
Right.
It's about overcoming oppression.
Right.
And by oppression, I mean any other style of music.
Yep.
By playing your soap flute louder.
Right.
Whether that be mosquitoes, whether that be rock and roll, whether that just be neighbors you don't like. Just blast your blast
It's all about expressing yourself and really putting yourself out there.
Mm.
CTP, as you know, our loyal listeners love our weekly life hacks. People mail us all the time talking about how our hacks have changed their life, and so many want to get involved. This is why I'm introducing a new weekly Listener Hack at Home Challenge.
Oh, wow.
Yep,
okay.
It's about to get interactive.
Is that liability involved in this? Did you go through legal before you did this?
The paperwork is, they're working on the paperwork.
Okay.
Our legal counselor is quite busy right now with other things, but I think we'll be okay for a week. Here it is. Okay, here's the first Hack at Home Challenge. Flutes come in many different shapes and sizes. Soprano, alto, piccolo, pan. Most flutes cost hundreds or even thousands of dollars. But by definition, a flute is simply a cylinder that creates sound when wind is added.
What about a recorder?
It's a flute.
Whistle?
Because it's a cylinder that creates sound when wind is added.
I completely misunderstood. You're right. It is.
It's a flute.
What about a clarinet?
It's a flute. By definition.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yes. Continue. What's the hack?
To our fans at home, what can you hack into a flute? Let's get creative, guys. So mail us a picture of your creation, and you know where to mail us.
Also, feel free to tag us on Instagram. We see all the posts you tag on WMFO, Self-Help Half Hour, Brett and Faust, TP, WMFO,
91.5,
WFO, Medford Freeform Radio.
Just tag us and, Instagram.
At before all of that, at, obviously.
And then, you know, picture the flute, get our tag in there and we'll see it. And you'll stand a chance to win a prize. And we'll be announcing the prize next week. Most likely a ticket to the convention. All right. So those are the flute hacks, guys. I hope those are helpful in your life. CTP, what do we got next on the schedule?
Well, right now, we've got a little game show, and we don't usually do this, because usually there is no time for games when you're trying to help people.
But today is Tim Weisberg
Day. But today is Tim Weisberg Memorial Appreciation Day. Love you, Tim. You're still alive. And we decided we would have some fun.
Oh, yeah.
We never really have fun, because we're too busy, you know, looking after our listeners, giving them advice, getting inside their ears.
Answering mail.
We thought answering mail, always answering mail. But we thought this time we'd do a little game. This is Tim Weisberg, right bug or wrong bug?
Ooh. What are the rules, CTP? How do I play this game?
Well, Tim Weisberg has released, as we know, over 18 studio albums and 4 live birds over his lifetime. And a lot of them have names. In fact, all of these albums have names, and some of the birds do too. So I've decided to compile a list of some of his best album names and add a few that I made up myself. And if you think it's an album he actually came out with, you say right bug. And if it's an album you think I made up, you say wrong bug. Do you get the rules?
This sounds amazing. And I know all of his albums, so I'm sure I'm going to get 100%.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I'm going to start off easy just so you can display, you understand the rules of the game.
Yes.
Knight Rider.
Right bug.
Right bug. Knight Rider is actually Tim Weisberg's best album ever.
Of course.
Right bug. Totally correct. 100% correct.
Man, that was close though. I was, almost got me with that one.
Number two, Listen to the City.
Right bug.
That was actually his 1976 album.
Wow.
Completely correct.
Wow.
Number three, The City Has No Mouth and Yet She Screams.
It's gotta be Wrongberg.
That was Wrongberg.
Okay.
I shouldn't have put it right next to Listen to the City, should I? Maybe I did that one a bit.
Well, because that was actually that's a Dan Fogelberg album.
Okay, number four, Twin Sons of Different Mothers.
Ooh. 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 You know what? I think Tim is a crazy guy. Let's go with Reitberg.
That is Reitberg.
Really?
Yeah, twin sons of different mothers. This is actually incredible. If I'm just going to take a step away from the character for a sec, this is actually like the funniest album cover I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because it's, he did a collaboration album with this guy called Dan Fogelberg.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they look exactly the same on the cover. And it's just their faces next to each other. So it says, twin sons of different mothers.
That is,
and then
so
15
funny.
Years later, they did a second album together where they're both 15 years older and look nothing alike. And they called it No Resemblance Whatsoever.
Oh, really? Wait, that's actually really funny.
Yeah. And it's like, it's amazing. The exact same album cover, but they're just a bit older.
Yeah.
It's actually, it's
that
a really
is so funny.
Funny. Number five, A Taste of Soap.
Oh, that's Reitberg.
No, Wrongberg.
What?
I know. He never actually made an allusion to his soap days.
Really?
On any of his album covers.
What?
Number six, A Tip of the Weisberg.
Ooh. That's Reitberg.
That's Reitberg.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my
Tip
God.
Of the Weisberg is actually an
Are
album he released.
Tip of the Weisberg?
Tip of the Weisberg from 1980.
Wait. I'm starting to take him a lot more seriously than I think he deserves credit
for. Tip of the Weisberg. It's,
yeah, that's really funny.
It's literally just, yeah, it's a picture of an iceberg. So funny. Number seven, Dueling Hands.
Dueling Hands. That's no. After that's not absurd enough to be out. That has to be Wrongberg, right?
That's Wrongberg.
Oh, wow.
That is Wrongberg. Flute Slap.
That's Reitberg.
Wrongberg.
Oh,
I know,
no.
Yeah.
What, that's, I mean.
It's, yeah, it's after Tip.
Flute Slap.
Tip, I should have saved Tip of the Weisberg,
yeah,
for last.
Jesus.
That really throws the barrier too high.
It really does, yeah.
Outrageous Temptations.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, Timmy. Wrongberg.
Reitberg.
No way.
Yeah. I think this was also a joint album with a female singer. Outrageous Temptations.
Man, this guy, he can really choose album names and covers, can't he?
He really knows.
Yeah.
Tip of the Weisberg. And finally, our last one. Please Listen.
Reitberg.
Wrongberg.
Oh, no.
It was...
I had a little bit of a streak there.
You got the first five, right?
Yeah.
The first six. Yeah, you got the first six, but it was those last four. I put a lot of Wrongbergs in there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. Please Listen. Well, he doesn't need to beg anyone to listen. He's not like that.
Exactly.
He puts, you know, he knows.
I was kind of annoyed you didn't think Dueling Hands was a Tim Weisberg album. As much as you know about Tim Weisberg, that is, I think, the most Tim Weisberg sounding album.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, now, since you just repeated it again, the imagery is of dueling hands on a flute is really funny. Just because you know, you play a flute with two hands, and like you imagine that they're from different...
They're fighting each other. One is his.
Like they're like jumping over each
One
other.
One is
kind
Dan Fogelberg. Slapping each other away.
Yeah.
Right.
That is very funny.
I think we've got time for one more
CTP,
song.
CTP, thank you for that game. Thank you for letting me play. That was very fun.
No Enjoyed worries.
That, yeah.
I would have given you a reward if you had got eight,
right,
but you didn't, so let's never bring it up again. We got another track coming up.
Should we? I was thinking, sorry to interrupt. Should we like describe the album cover to our, our fans and listeners at home?
This is... We obviously own every record Tim Weisberg has ever
done.
Mm-hmm. But this one is our favorite. It's Knight Rider from 1979. When you first go into Goodwill to pick this up, you'll be taken aback by the opening cover because it doesn't seem
It doesn't seem like a soap album cover.
Yeah, it doesn't. What you have is you have Tim Weisberg, late 70s, peeling down the highway at breakneck speeds on a bicycle.
Yep.
In full cycle gear.
It's full cycle gear.
I looked everywhere. I guess he must have been like a professional cyclist or something.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, No, that's just, oh, how would you take a picture like this and put it on
an
album?
He's going very fast. Like, he's actually going.
He's going
very fast. And even the sky looks like a sky from the late 70s, you know?
Yeah. Also, people just didn't ride these bikes in, like, the 70s. And that's, you're, like, a professional.
It's a very 2001 bike, but in a different period.
It's an album wholly of its time. And the fact that someone would create an entire album based around his love of biking, it really just kind of spoke to us.
Yeah, it really spoke to us.
Knight Rider really, kind of misleads you as to what the album is going to be about.
Yeah.
Because you hear Knight Rider and then you see him on a bike.
A more appropriate...
Just cycling. It's more like Early Morning Rider.
I feel like a more appropriate album cover would be like a forest with, you know, prancing centaurs and stuff, and, like, you know, mist.
Yeah,
that would be appropriate.
That's definitely the vibes I'm getting from this album.
But, you know, it's all about the music.
It's all about the music. The music returning to right at this second.
I think we're between there it is. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Very groovy track. I'm into
Wow. So right then we had Yesterday's Dreams, which is personally my favorite track off Knight Rider, because you don't often hear Tim Weisberg go to his sensitive side, his sense of longing, his sense of childhood. We don't often hear that on his records.
Yeah, usually he's brash and you know, out there with his flute. But.
Or it's mythical beings he's fluting about.
Right.
But that one really, it really gets to me on an emotional level. Then we had Won't Be Coming Back. We played them back to back, and they're two phenomenal tracks.
Again, the pacing, the, you know, he brings you into this valley of emotion and then brings you up into a mountain of sweet guitar licks. So, yeah, guys, thanks for listening. Hey, CTP, you know, our listeners want what they want. Do you have a letter for us this week?
Well, it wouldn't be the self-help half-hour if we didn't end on a letter. We've spent a lot of time with Tim Weisberg. It's time to get back to the fans.
Okay.
This week.
Yeah, let's do it.
This week is actually the reason we decided to do the entire Knight Rider extravaganza. It is a letter about Tim Weisberg himself. Not really.
Wow.
It's more about some other things, but it inspired me to bring out my own love of Tim Weisberg and do a week about it.
Yep.
This is a letter. We need a name from the person who wrote it.
Berg Wise Tim. Yep.
We haven't heard that one yet.
No.
Okay. Berg Wise Tim writes. You ready?
Yep.
You ready?
Let's do it.
You ready? Okay. Hello, Colin and intern Bagel. And a big buongiorno to the Faust.
Buongiorno, Berg.
Yeah. Hey, what was it, Berg Weinstein?
Berg Wise Tim.
Lindsay Feldstein?
Yep.
Oh, we have to give a shout out to Simone this week as well.
Oh, we
Happy birthday,
do.
Simone.
Happy birthday, Simone.
I'm a 21-year-old cis white male, but despite these things, love listening to the music of Adele or even the Chili Peppers.
Ooh.
Sorry, this is literally someone wrote this. Sorry. I think I have a good mix of music to my name, but my roommate has just entered into the vinyl game and has been buying the old black plastic like it's nobody's business.
Oh.
I get how it is, an expensive habit, the old 180 grams.
Yep.
I can't really get into it, though. I can't really get into it, though. He's talking about the vinyls.
Vinyl.
I feel it's just a big con to make people think you're more interesting through the consumption of showing off of a wildly outdated technology as a means of escaping the need to learn a skill to better oneself. Huh. It's cool. Now when I come home, all I see is my friend in a flat cap surrounded by these skinny Boston dudes with tattoos and beers talking about the tone. His most recent purchase has been Tim Weisberg's Knight Rider, which he plays every second. I bought an album for myself, Adele's 25, but he says it's not listenable. He says it's not an album you need for vinyl. What are your thoughts? Should I try to join him or just let him do his own pretentious thing? Thanks, guys. Berg Schwartzplatz.
Man, that really gets me going. That letter really got me going. I feel like just for bias purposes, I need to separate my love of vinyl from my love of Tim Weisberg, because vinyl is one of those things where it's, you know, to each his own, but Tim Weisberg is an absolute truth in this vast and confusing world. So let's tackle these separate issues. CTP, what do you think about the whole vinyl thing, the revival?
I think the vinyl revival, I think it's a great thing that's going on. I think listening, music has lost a lot of its community.
Right.
It's like, music used to be something the entire family could join together in the living room, gather around the wireless.
That's true.
Listen to the president's speech.
Mm.
And then hear, you know,
some soap.
Yeah, just some soap jazz coming through the speakers. Now these days, everyone's got their Walkmans, everyone got their headphones. Mm. No one has those little splitter cables you had back when you were 14. On the bus on the way to school.
Right.
And just people listening to music together, it's lost a lot of its warmth. And I feel, you know, the vinyl record, even if it's wildly pretentious, outdated, the music doesn't sound better, at least it's bringing back that sense of community.
If you can do it
without the vinyls, you do the best of your abilities. Yeah. But I like what vinyls is doing.
It's definitely, as you mentioned, it's a to each his own thing. And you know, here at the self-help half hour, we never want to tell you to be one person or another, but we want to highlight, you know, the pros and cons of each side.
Mm.
And, you know, it is, as you mentioned, it is expensive, but, you know, it's a collector, you know, it's something people like to collect and it makes people happy. So, you know, we're not going to discourage that.
We're not going to discourage the listening of vinyls.
Right.
There is one thing we will discourage though.
That is.
And that is that we will fight any man who doesn't listen to Tim Weisberg.
That really boils my blood.
The man is a soap flute god.
How dare you use the name of Tim Weisberg in vain?
Look, here's the thing. Your mate was right about one thing. That's there are records you listen to on vinyl and records you don't listen to on vinyl. Tim Weisberg, any of his albums, Twin Sons of Identical Mothers, Tip of the Weisberg, Tim Weisberg, Untitled, Live Number 4, any of his albums, you listen to it on the vinyl. Because if you're just sitting there with it coming through your speakers, with it coming through your Spotify, it's not worth it. It's not the same level.
Worth it. And in addition, none of his albums are actually on Spotify. So it's actually your only option. That's what Tim Weisberg wanted. Just like, you know, Beyonce, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not on Spotify. Because she wants you to listen to her music on vinyl.
Only That's place to why. Listen to Tim Weisberg is Tidal right now.
Right.
They got all the high quality riffs.
They got all of Beyonce and Jay-Z's
We're
music.
We're saying if you want to listen to Tim Weisberg, I think that's what this guy isn't asking whether vinyl impacting his friendship is a good thing. He's asking, where's the best place to listen to Tim Weisberg? And we'll tell you.
We'll tell you.
Tidal.
Title.
I have no idea if it's on Title.
You need to get those flax.
But honestly, I don't know. I feel like the whole vinyl situation, it's here's what you got to do. You got to respect each other. Because we're big vinyl fans.
One
more so than the other. But we are big vinyl fans. And I've never seen anything make DJ Fowl so angry.
Mm.
As when someone came into our house with a Strome record and put it with his record collection. So it kind of seemed like he also owned part of the record collection despite only owning one record.
Right.
Boiled my blood as well.
Yeah.
There's definitely an elitism to it.
That's like going to someone's bookshelf and putting
a book near their books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A book that they don't.
Exactly. It's
yep.
Elitism.
I know. Some people buy video games, some people buy I don't know.
Should we leave it on this
some people shop at Whole Foods?
Should we leave it here for Sigourney? If you can't do it, if you're not in the lifestyle, maybe you won't understand it.
Right.
Maybe you owe it to yourself. Just go down to the record store or just a local place that sells cheap records. Pick up.
Just try it out.
5 records for $5.
Preferably,
throw them on.
Hopefully.
See if you like the sound and just the feeling of sitting in the living room with a cup of hot malt drink and that day's New Republican. And just see how it feels.
Yep.
And if you don't like it, then you don't like it. And that's all we can say. This was a sober and fun letter to do this week.
It was. I think we both learned a lot. And Berg is a little more sure of himself now and what he should do moving forward. And obviously, we thanks to Tim Weisberg for creating this masterpiece that we were able to play on the radio for
Thank you for
today.
Allowing your music to we people say we were hosting Tim Weisberg's music. No. Tim Weisberg's music was hosting us.
He is a vessel for our emotions and our thoughts. And today we transferred those thoughts out to you.
Thank you for listening this week to the Self-Help Half Hour, Tim Weisberg's Knight Rider Extravaganza. It's been great.
Yep.
Medford, we thought the world of you.
Thank you.